watching this morning on online live stream. And praise God, we want to welcome you to another Sunday of divine intervention, divine connection, and just in a divine encounter with God one more time. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Let's say we do that together. Glory to God. Good places to be. Let's go ahead and lift our hands and thank God. Father, we want to thank you this morning. In the name of Jesus, we invite the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. The one that's here, the awesome God that's here. In spirit, Prabhupada. Thank you, Lord, that he's leading and guiding, comforting, and beginning to give wisdom. We pray that wisdom will be planted into the heart again, and wisdom will be redone somehow in their hearts to make it clear, Father God, cultivating that word in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you as we finish this service today. May we say, man, it's been a good one again. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for all that's in store for us. Thank you for all the benefits of being a child of God and being in the family of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Father, in advance for what shall be accomplished because of your word and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. I have about four or five words in my spirit. I got five messages. I got one, serving God, the benefits of serving God, how to serve God, the characteristics of someone who is full, a servant who is full of the Spirit. But I'm going to just follow and follow the Holy Ghost. In my spirit, I want to read a couple of things first, and then we're going to go and tell you a little bit more here. Let's go to our Bibles. I've given you a number of scriptures last time we were together. And if you want to catch up on that, we had a tremendous service on Wednesday. Amen. Tremendous service. You couldn't ask for a better service. I've been to a lot of good services, and I'll tell you, this was a wonderful time to get together on Sunday. The whole church dedicated themselves to serving God. And why don't we turn to the 14th chapter of the book of John. The 14th chapter, those that are following me back in the sound room, I will give you some little bit of a time to get to where we're supposed to go this morning, because if I go fast, then you'll have to forgive me. So I'm asking forgiveness first, and then we can follow. So John is talking about the Spirit. We talked about serving God. And you cannot serve God effectively without knowing his Spirit, without being full of his Spirit. The Bible encourages all the Christians to be filled. Not one place where Paul planted the church that he invited them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we want to give you some historical perspective on that and give you some present day reality in terms of why we need to be filled. And Jesus, talking to his disciples, I want to continue to talk about the characteristics of being filled. How do you know when you're filled with the Spirit? How do you know when you need a fresh encounter with God? How do we know if you're full? And so I want to continue along that vein, but I want to add on a few other things about serving God, because this month at Faith City Church, it's critical that we talk about serving God. And the importance of serving God. Why do we serve God? There's a lot of serving industries. People go to school for serving. I want to mention a little bit more about that later. But I want to go to these scriptures first and encourage you to help you with this. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. I want to go to the King James Version here first. And he's saying in John chapter 14, verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you." You know, he was there with them. he was about to leave, and some of the most important things your parent would tell you is to tell you something that's important to them before they leave or depart on a journey. And Jesus said, verse 26, but the Comforter. And there's a sevenfold meaning for the word Comforter or Holy Spirit. And the Amplified Version gives us those seven words. And they begin to reveal to us what and who the Holy Spirit will do for us and what he is to us in our relationship with him. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to you all things to your remembrance. Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 15. Chapter 15. And let's go to verse... Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father. So who is the Comforter coming from? The Father. So we have a Father in heaven. Even the Spirit of Truth. This Comforter, this Holy Ghost, he is called the Spirit of Truth. If you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, the Holy Ghost will tell you. You'll go, that's not good. You're eating too much butter. Whatever he's going to tell you. I see some of you have enjoyed some butter. Which proceeds from the Father, and he shall, what? What will the Holy Spirit do? Testify of me. That's Jesus. He said he's going to, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you about me, about Jesus, who Jesus is in relationship to the church. One of the first things he showed me is the risen Christ when I got filled with the Spirit. I saw it. And let's go to the 16th chapter. So Jesus is talking. And verse 6 and 7, John 16, 6 and 7. But I have said these things unto you. Sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, I want to look at the 14th verse again, 14th chapter, and look at the verse that we just read earlier. And I want to look at another version of it. I believe it's the Amplified. Notice the Amplified says in that verse, John 14, he said, and I will pray the Father, or excuse me, that's the King James. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say helper. So we are talking about helps ministry, helps month, serving in this church. We say we can't serve, the way that we want with excellence without the Spirit's help. He said he's a helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. Those are words that the Amplified uses. It takes the Greek word, the key Greek word in the version there, and he begins that gives us the meaning of it so that we can have a fuller understanding of it. So the Holy Spirit, as our helper, is going to give you all these. He's going to comfort you. He's going to advocate. You know, advocate is like a lawyer, and he'll do what he has to do to help you, to talk for you, to speak for you, and so forth, so on. And he'll stand in front of the devil. He'll help you. And the Bible says there, he's also intercessor, and we cannot pray effectively without him. He'll help us pray. Counselor, If ever we need, I was reading yesterday. I was reading the book Tongues. You know, there's a real thick book. Brother Hagin wrote it. What happened? You know, in the upper room with the Holy Spirit and the believers. He said, you know, I've never had. He said, one thing I never did is went for counseling. He said, I always depended on the counselor inside of me. Now, don't try that if you don't know the Holy Ghost and you don't walk close to God. You better have somebody help you. But sometimes, you know, I think far too many people, they're looking for somebody else to tell them what to do. Legitimize their sin, he says. The Holy Spirit will tell you if you're not living right. And so we have a Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost inside of us to help us. And those meanings of those verses, and that verse will tell us something. The greatest helper is the Spirit that lives inside of us. If we're going to serve, we need to ask Him to help us serve. Helping. So, there is a ministry in the church called the Ministry of Helps, or serving. Giving aid. Giving support. Giving assistance. Those are all similar words that mean the same thing. And in the world, we call it volunteering. Volunteering. Some places they said that it's voluntold. You're told to go and serve if you're in you know, in school. Now, I spent, you know, myself, I spent, I spent 5 years in university. I did my honors bachelor of social work at Lakehead. And I spent another 2 more years at the University of Manitoba in the area of social work. And I spent another 3 years at the college, 2 years in social work training. That's the best training I had at the college. I can tell you that right now. And a lot of theory in university. But the last 2 years of the university was great. But I learned to serve. I learned to serve. I learned to serve in different areas, volunteering so many ways. I worked when I was in AA, they taught me how to serve right away. This is bothering me for some reason. Maybe I put too much burl cream on. They still sell that to stuff. But you see, a little dab will do you too. Remember, how many of you remember those commercials? See, I can tell how old you guys are, eh? So, in my reserve, we said a little grease will do good. A little lard, a little dinner, tender flake. A bunch of dogs following you everywhere, ready to lick your hair. That's why one fellow, he had dogs all the time, about a dozen dogs following him everywhere. But you see, you know, I spent a whole number of years in school learning how to serve, how to help as a professional, how to serve, how to help people. And yet there's some people that come to church, they'll tell you what they want to do and how they want to help. So tonight we have a session, my wife and I are teaching it, how to help. You can't just help any way you want. Come on now. There's a certain way of helping. So, you know, you come to the church. We want a certain kind of, you know, level of ability to serve. Even if you have a degree, we still want you to have training. You know, so there's a certain way to help people, to serve people. You can't just serve people the way you want to help. And people say, well, I took that course one time before another church. Well, I said, this is a new church. You want to belong to this church, there's a way of serving. So you understand what I'm trying to emphasize. I went to school for a long time to serve people. It took me a lot of years to try to help people. Now, listen to this. I learned about how to serve people. I learned about their needs. Okay? The other thing about it, I had to learn about me. I had to learn about myself and how I function when I serve. And when you serve in the church, you have to understand about yourself. You have to understand your personality, your ability, your level of maturity spiritually. You have to understand yourself, your how you function with people. You don't always, one of the biggest mistakes people make in churches is that they try to serve the way they think they should serve, and they work with people who they don't understand their personalities or whatever, or maybe the kind of job they have to do. And we have people have a lot of trouble because they want to do things their own way. And a lot of times it's rebellion, plain rebellion. You have to get that out of them because, hey, this is the way we're doing it here. I understand you're qualified and professional, but listen, you still have to learn what we're doing here. Come on now. So this is what we have to, we understand this, so we have to train people, understand different things. And, church is, people are people everywhere, but there's certain levels of different things you have to do. So you have to learn about yourself. You have to learn about other people. You have to learn about how what happens with people when people get together. There's dynamics. And when people get together, there are things happen and that kind of thing. So we want to learn these things. We want to learn the principles of God's word and what it says. How do we apply that to our own lives? So we have discussion meetings, small group discussions. Sometimes we don't always have a whole lot of discussion because we do a lot of talking in our small groups, and we share about what we feel. And one of the things we try to teach people in our training programs, my wife and I have been doing this for a number of years. Many, many years, we spend many, many Sunday nights teaching leadership people different things. You don't learn how to serve overnight. Things happen. So in 2000, and 2000 when we got back from Raymond, we just implemented the program of serving. And so for 3-hour sessions once a month, we teach leadership principles and people skills and principles of biblical serving. And we try to implement, updated information on various things people are doing within the church or in the profession of serving. And so we do that. So, and then we eat together, which is a great thing. You know, when you eat together, it's wonderful, isn't it? If you ever have a fight with somebody, take them out to eat. And just feed them, and they feel wonderful after. So, So we want to bring in the Spirit. So we gave you a scripture. We gave you this pivotal scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Paul, when he went to the Roman Christians, he said, I went there with such power and demonstrated to you the power of God. He told them about the Spirit. He told the Corinthians the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And, 1 to 5, he said, I went there with such power, you were convinced that God was working in my life because of the power God gave witness. And when the Spirit of God comes upon our lives, we have to have, not only our professionalism in there, but we also have the Spirit of God, the witness of God's Spirit on someone. So we want the Spirit on people that they would have this excellence. So Romans chapter 12, verse 11, we said, Paul said, is it on here yet? No. My guy back there, I'm going to wait for you. We're all depending on you today, this morning. Romans 12, 11, the Amplified Version. Let's go ahead and look at that. Notice it says, fervent spirit serving the Lord. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence. That's not the verse we're looking for. 11? 12, 11? Give that guy some glasses. Okay. Never lag in zeal and in earnest in endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Now, understand this. Sometimes people's fire goes out a little bit. They get a little low. But Paul is telling the Christians there, you cannot lag in this thing about serving God. He says, notice that serving the Lord is the last phrase. So you can't have, preceding that, is that burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. That looked like somebody was so enthused. A lot of people, just as soon as church is over, they're gone. You won't see them for another week or maybe 3 weeks. For whatever reason, year after year after year, that becomes like, hey, what's going on? We're your family. Hello? Okay, so never lack in zeal, earnest endeavor. So we have to have that earnestness and that zeal regularly. Like we should want to serve. And so if that's the case, maybe we need to find out, what is it I'm lacking? If you were lacking in vitamins or something, in energy, you'd find out. You want to find out why I'm so low. You go to a doctor, and you'll take whatever it is you have to take to get energy. So our energy in the church is the Holy Ghost, the Word and power. So everywhere Paul went to preach, he started the church with such bang. Let's go to 1 Corinthians there, Luke. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And just go to the King James Version for this one. There's so many words there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just go to, let's go 4 and 5. Okay, in my speech and in my preaching was not of enticing words of man's wisdom. He's talking about this first. He said, when I came to you first, this is what happened. He said, when I came to you, my speech was not, my speech preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. And we kind of made a distinction between what he meant with demonstration of spirit and demonstration of power. Paul said that. So if you need to find out what he said, a demonstration of spirit and power, of course, he's talking about the power gifts. He's talking about the spiritual gifts here. There's demonstration of spirit. If I'm preaching here and I'm reading your mail, that's a demonstration of spirit. You say, hey, how did he know that? And I gave you a lot of examples last three times we met together, and demonstration of power. And people saw power on this man. Oh, wow, what's going on? This is not church as usual. This is something else. And so there's something happened. This is not over. It's not supposed to be over. Because we've got denominations. This should happen. This should be a regular occurrence, continually. And so, verse 5, he says, why did this happen? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So our focus for this to happen is not to focus on the man. Ooh, what a wonderful woman, man, that person is. No, we focus back on God. God moves supernaturally among us so that we can have focus on him. So we say, hey, God. And I told you, as far as signs and wonders are concerned, wherever Paul went, there was signs and wonders, and was the Spirit helping him. And there was two main things when God had signs and wonders. There's two main reasons for it. One was that God was trying to confirm in the man himself that I'm there helping you. That I'm there with you. And I don't have time to go all the scriptures now, but we'll go back to those again. And then the other sign and wonder why it was there was for the people to know that God was at work among them. So that it also shows us in Romans chapter 15, 19, I think, Mr. Luke. So I'm giving you these scriptures as I remember them. Romans 15, 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the denomination I'm in, by my Bible school training, by what? By the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, our helper. By the Spirit of God, so that from Thunder Bay, all over Ontario, and across the country of Canada, I have fully, fully, fully by the Spirit of God. It's hard to preach the full gospel if we don't have the Spirit. We are taught in many denominations, people, that, you know, stay away from those Pentecostals. And yet Jesus was the one who actually advocated and said, you should wait for the Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 4. chapter 1, verse 4 to 8, King James. Now, he did tell them in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he told them to, I'm going to send you somebody just like me. In fact, when Jesus sat in my car in 1989 in Winnipeg, I'm driving from school, Jesus sat in the car. The Holy Ghost came in the car, but it was Jesus. I said, is this Holy Spirit or Jesus? Jesus said, he is just like me. Everything I say, if the Holy Spirit will say, he said, he's going to testify about me. The Lord, and I told you, I had all these experiences in the Spirit. Not to tickle me and to see how great I am, but Holy Spirit came and he showed me, had these encounters to testify to me that he called me. Because I had so many people, when I came back to the city of Thunder Bay and I quit my career, my wife and I left our careers, we went into the ministry with no money, nobody backing, no denomination backing it. We started this ministry. And people and pastors, or some pastors in the city didn't like the fact that I was starting a church, so they came and tell me directly that you guys are all, you're a cult, you guys. You're Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, you guys are all cults. If somebody told you something about that, you would feel bad and want to quit. Especially if you're not convinced. And told me other things, why I should not be in the ministry as a First Nations man. Because First Nations people quit everything. They cannot go very far. And that's what I had. And that's what I heard. Maybe he didn't tell me that so many ways sometime, but that's what I was told. Okay? So, in this city. He said, who's going to listen to you? And besides, you have all these other social issues wrong with your life. You should not be. You don't qualify to be a pastor. And I realized they were saying everything was true in the natural. If the Holy Spirit did not confirm in my life personally that he called me, I would have quit. I would have actually quit. I don't need this junk. I don't need people messing with me. I was minding my own business, doing my own thing, going my own career, going down the path where I believe I was very successful. I was going to be successful no matter what. I was going to do whatever I had to do. I didn't need that. And even in my own church, Pastor Ken, people will tell me, who do you think you are, Kenneth Copeland? And I would feel so bad after the church service to tell me different things. Who do you think you are? You're just a young punk. And I was, it was constantly like that, bang, bang, bang. And I said, Lord, I hate doing this. I told my wife. And when we had this church split, when we left for Rhema, I told my wife, I ain't going back. There's no way I'm going back. Those guys don't deserve me. I'm dedicated. I've given up so much. You see, I'm having self-pity party. I gave up so much. We quit our careers. We don't have any money. We've done this. We're doing it for free. You're getting two for one. And so we became missionaries of the word of faith in our own city. And I was wondering, I told I said, Lord, why do I have to go to Oklahoma? And the Spirit said to me, I want you to go sit on Brother Hagin. The same Spirit I put on Brother Hagin, I'm going to put on you. So, and Brother Hagin is a teacher, so I became a teacher. See, we don't have, this is who we are. We're a teaching ministry. Faith City Church is primarily a teaching ministry. That's why we have Bible school. That's why we're on television. That's why we have ministry. It helps training regularly. We teach. We put up publications and so forth. So that's who we are. The Lord said to me, change your ministry from what you used to do, and all those Holy Ghost meetings. He said, you're a teacher. I'm sitting in the front row, and this is what God confirmed this to me. And John Power, y'all know, remember that. He points to me, he said, God said, he's looking for a teacher across the nation, and you're it. How would you like anybody tell you that? Well, I didn't think I was, and see it, and probably still people don't think it is, but that's what God called me, a teacher. And so when you have that kind of pressure on you, you can't get away from it. Like I tell people, I just can't quit because things are not working out. Money's not coming in. I think I'll quit. That's not how it works with me. Okay, so I might not be there fully where I believe I should be, where you think I should be, but I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Because God called me to do what I'm supposed to do. They say some people have to blaze a trail. Like Joel Osteen's son, or Joel Osteen, John was the dad. He was one that blazed a trail for his son to do what he's doing. Like in that church, Joel's church, they got like, I think, 35,000 or 60,000 people on Sunday morning. That's the whole of, it's a huge area. It's like comparing Toronto to Nunavut, Christian population-wise. That's the most populated area. Like Texas is almost the most populated area in the United States, particularly with Christians. And that's why they have all those people there. It's a Bible Belt. Somebody paid a price for all those people to be in that church. And we're paying a price that someday, somewhere, somebody else is going to reap off my ministry. We have to get this going in the right direction. And like I said, if I didn't have these experiences with God, I would have quit a long time ago. And you have to keep going. I'm teaching this because I know you need the Spirit. You can't carry on what you need to do without the Spirit of God in your life. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, if all those disciples needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever in these days. We need His direction. We need His encouragement. We need all this in our lives today. And so Paul tells the Corinthians, or at least Jesus said, wait for the Spirit, so forth, so on, and wait for the promise. Chapter 4 says, wait for the promise. Acts 1:4, wait for the promise. Then he says, in verse 8, he says, you shall be filled with the Spirit from on high. Then Acts chapter 2, the 120, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. As somebody said, they were convincing me, you need the Holy Spirit. I was a good Catholic boy and went to church every Sunday all my life. But I was not born again until I come to Jesus. Myself. I was baptized in the church, but I was not born again. But I was hungry for God. And so this man says to me, you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can pray for you. And I was just like those Ephesians. He said, what? There's no Holy Spirit. I have a Holy Spirit. And so Paul tells that church at Ephesus, when he met them in Acts 19, he said, have you had the Holy Spirit since you believed? He said, we don't even know any Holy Spirit. That's like a lot of people. We don't know if there's any Holy Spirit. And yet these guys were born again already. Why would Paul tell them? They're already saved. He tells them, have you had the Holy Spirit since you believed? So the Bible says, chapter 19 and 5 and 6, he said, Paul told them about the Holy Spirit, laid hands upon them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. Years later, he wrote a book to them. He wrote a letter to them. Are you following this or are you just talking by myself? Because I feel all of a sudden everybody left me. Okay. So years later, he writes to them again. They've been filled. They were filled. So Acts 19, could you pull Acts 19 up? Let's go to verse 5 and 6, I think. Why don't we just take it from verse 1? Take it from verse 1. We don't want Pilate. Acts 19. Acts 19. So I'm just trying to show you here. Okay, so we're going to get to the place of serving somewhere along the line. Okay. So because you have to, you might know this, but somebody else beside you might not know, ever heard this. They might not hear this. You hear me talk about this, but it's good for you to hear it again, right? So it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He He said unto them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they believed Jesus. So they were born again. When you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? So they said to them, we have not so much heard as whether there is the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, into what then were you baptized? So they said unto them, John's baptism. So we said, you know, they were Baptist people. We were just kind of making a little joke about it. Verse 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, that's Jesus, whom they should come after, that is on Jesus Christ. Verse 5, when they heard this, faith comes by hearing, they were baptized in the name. And then verse 6, the name of Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I remember I didn't see anybody do this. I was born again, filled with the Spirit that summer. And I started telling people about the Holy Spirit. And I started laying hands on people, and lo and behold, they were filled. I said, oh, this works. Okay? So they were filled with the Spirit. I want you to go, these same people, so Paul started this church at Ephesus. Go to Ephesus, book of Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 18. Book of Ephesus. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. So you have to understand, years later, he's talking to them again. So just because we had one encounter with the Spirit doesn't mean you're done. Doesn't mean, oh, I had that once before. I don't need it again. Do you have to renew your license? You tell the government, no, I don't have to. Well, Jesus says, you have to have this experience again. Because how many people understand? You have to understand this. You can lose spiritual things. You see, some people say, I used to prophesy. Well, why not now? I used to lay hands on the sick. So, Ephesians 5:19, praying always with all spirit and supplication in the Spirit. He's saying praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? We showed you from Scripture, praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues. Scripture verifies that. Scripture verifies when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying with tongues. Scripture verifies, not just one or two, a number of scriptures tells you that. When you pray, Mora Shakara, you're in the Spirit. That's the best way to get in the Spirit is pray in tongues. So, he says, supplicating in the Spirit, supplication means prayer. He is the Spirit of supplication. Be watchful to this end, and all perseverance, supplication for all saints. You cannot pray for all saints unless you pray in the Spirit. 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth with boldness. Words being filled with the Spirit. 5:18. Chapter 5, this is Ephesians 6. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So Acts 19, they were filled with the Spirit before. Now he's telling them to be filled with the Spirit again. These Ephesian Christians. Hallelujah. And Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, the Bible said they were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. Chapter 5 said they were filled again and began to speak with other tongues. Began to be, so they had another experience again. And so that's why we have a number of scriptures that said, be filled with the Spirit, serving the Lord. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you just have this ability to want to serve. You know, we have Holy Ghost meetings sometimes. Everybody loves each other after the service. You're chummy and everything else, and I'll buy you lunch. Okay, it's a good time to buy somebody lunch. hang around. Can you buy me lunch? Okay, yeah, sure, come on. After they get to the thing and they're eating, the spirit just dissipates. And he says, well, do I have to pay again? I shouldn't have said that. It's easy to promise things under the spirit. How many people, the Holy Ghost is moving, so how many people give 1,000? Everybody, yeah, I'll give 1,000. After the spirit leaves, oh, man. That's happened to me a number of times. I know it. You just feel like you want to give, man. You have your last 1,000 bucks. You're at the conference, you know. Your traveling money's gone. We know what it's like. Under the inspiration, the Spirit said to me, give your car away. Oh, yeah, praise God. Guess who walked? I did. But I learned some things. When you're filled, you can do anything. That's why you need to continue to stay full. So let me just close out in about 3.5 hours. The Bible says that, when you're filled, okay, so the question is again, so how do you know you're full? Did I leave my phone there? Is that my phone? So I'm getting some texts from people. No, so how do you know you're full? What are characteristics if you say, okay, so am I really full or am I not full? So as a Christian, as a server, you have to ask yourself this question. You have to know biblically if you're not, you have to know. So if someone is full, it's recognizable. You can tell whether or not someone's full or not. If you're full of something else, they'll know right away. You're so full of anger. You're so full of sadness and grief. It's hard to serve God if you're so full of everything else except the Spirit. Paul told the church the first ministry of helps people is recorded in Acts chapter 6. The first recollection we can find of the historical event of having a ministry of helps is Acts chapter 6. Paul said, look ye among you, men of honest report, you know, and wisdom, he says, and full of the Holy Ghost was a requirement to serve God. Full. Because you know it's a long trip. To be fully filled, a continual experience with God is what we need. He says, so it's recognizable when you're spirit-filled. In Acts chapter 6, the apostle told the disciples, look out among them, men who had three qualities. One of them was being filled with the Spirit. He says in Acts 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. So if someone's full of the Holy Ghost, among them there's something recognizable about somebody that they should serve in the health ministry that's going to be useful to the ministry. So look out among you who's full with the Spirit. I'll tell you, the ones who are filled with the Spirit, they'd almost do anything for God. And we gave you Romans 12, lacking Jesus. So how can you tell? First of all, here's some 4 things I'll give you very quickly so you can get out of here. You can do your test. Okay? Now, in Acts, we give you Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Paul said, and do not be drunk with wine, wherein is debauchery, but ever be filled, stimulated with the Holy Spirit, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offer praises with voices and instruments, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is the Amplified Bible. Here's what it is. If you're filled, here's a good sign. First of all, you're speaking God's word. You're speaking God's word about your situation rather than your circumstances. You're talking about what God will do, no matter what you're in, no matter what trouble you're in. You're talking about what God is about to do and what he said he would do. Because if you're full of your problems, you're going to talk about your problems. But if you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is going to prompt you to talk about what God's about to do. He said, singing And prophesying is also another one in your own spiritual life. If you're prophesying to yourself while you're at home, walking down the road, telling about God, oh, he's wonderful, that's it as a sign you're full. No one's telling you to do this. The music team is not trying to get you to sing a song, not trying to get you lift your hands. If you're lifting your hands up at home and say, thank God, and you're doing all that stuff at home, you're full. That's a sign that you're filled. Acts says there, Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed for them, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, speak the word of God with boldness. This is the same group of people again in Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Again, they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke the word with boldness because they had odds against them. They're speaking the word of God over their situation with boldness. That's a sign you're filled. Not a sign that you're full of grief. Not a sign that you're depressed. Not a sign that you're fearful, but you're filled with the Spirit. Talking about what God's going to do. Even though everything looks against you, you're speaking, thank God, hallelujah. God's good. His word endures forever. He's doing something for me right now. He's getting things ready right now. I know it looks bad, but things are happening right now. Yeah. So that's a good sign. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The second sign is thankfulness. People who are filled with the Spirit are very grateful, thankful to God. They can praise and thank God for all things. Someone with a thankful heart, they're full of gratitude. You can tell that guy is so full of the Spirit, full of God, that they're thankful. That's how you can tell you're filled. If you're not thankful, always grumbling and murmuring and saying how bad things are and everything's going wrong in the world and nothing ever happens, God doesn't answer my prayers, and hey, you can be filled. You can be filled right now if you want. You can be filled right now. You can fill yourself up. You don't have to wait for me to lay hands on you. Go to a special meeting. You can be filled right now by yourself, speaking to yourself. Speaking in the Spirit. Three, I told my friend, he's not here this morning, I don't see him. I said to him, we're going to talk about this. We talked about this. I said, you know, come to church Sunday morning. I'll give you a little pointer here. And you're not getting along with the world and not happy. Here's what it is. Number three is humility is a sign that you're filled. Humility is a sign that you're filled either with yourself or the devil, the thoughts, or the Holy Ghost and the love of God. He said, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're teachable. You're trainable. You're able to yield to other people, even though you're right and they're wrong. You're able to yield. Say, okay, if you want it that way, let's go ahead. Praise God. God always will tell. People become humble and they're willing to yield to God and to other people becoming submitted to God and what he wants to do, his plan. Verse 20 of that same chapter, 5:18 to 20. Submitting yourselves to one another. Submitting to, when you're full of the Spirit of God, he's leading, he's our leader, he's our guide, and we're able to yield to people. Yield whatever you want. And my mind tells me, I want to punch you in the head, but I'm going to yield to you. Right? I want to slap you, and I want to say what I want to say. In my mind, your mind is not renewed. Your feelings are not renewed. So we follow our heart. We follow the love of God who has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. We follow our spirit. So I'm going to submit to your plan, God. I know this is not right. This is, I know this church is going this direction, but I'm going to yield. But I know God's going to pull this thing back in the right place. I'm going to yield. See, people don't have faith in God that God's going to turn it around. So we yield to God. So, speaking, praising, being grateful, having humility, submitting yourselves. This is all I can give you today. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and close. Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus for your Holy Spirit in our lives and make a big difference. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today for his Spirit. upon our lives. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, blessed be God. So we say ourselves, thank you, Lord, that we're filled with the Spirit. And we saw those scriptures. I'm full of the Holy Ghost because of the Spirit. I'm full of power because the Spirit is on my life to empower me to do what I'm supposed to do, to serve you, to love people, to know myself, to know people, to know your plan. We submit ourselves to you again, whatever you want us to do, however you want us to serve, wherever you want us to serve, what you want us to do. What do you want us to do with our homes and our families? Everything we have belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. We submit our whole spirit, our soul and bodies to you. May you have preeminence in our lives. May you have number one priority in everything we do. With everything we do, with all our resources, everything we have. If you say, give this, I give it. If you say, do that, I'll do it. If you say, serve this, we know that you're talking to us when we don't want to do something. Because our flesh doesn't want to do things that you want us to do. If you're saying, if God, as you're talking to me, is that you? Ask yourself, do you really want to do that on your human side? Say, no, I wouldn't do that. But I just sense God said, do this, or say that, or give that, or pray this, or go see this person. Lord God, we submit to you. We want to serve your plan. We want to serve your people for the benefit of other people so that they may be saved, that they may come to know you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe it's staying where you're supposed to stay. Do what you're supposed to do. To be stable. Year after year. Service after service. You're being faithful. And somebody's reading into that. They're saying, man, oh man, I've never seen a faithful person. I want to be that. Thank you, Lord. That our lives speak, just like we said with the children. Our lives speak more than what we say. We thank you, Lord, that we can be stable, that we can serve you no matter what happens. I give you praise, Lord. Thank you. As we dismiss from here, we thank you as we get ready for tonight, together to serve, to eat together, to fellowship, to learn, to grow, to how to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say amen. Well, go ahead and greet somebody as you leave the assembly. Praise God. Have a wonderful afternoon. Praise God.